this one.
She's gonna be here about 10.
Well, she and Deb, and they're gonna use my little conference room until we're done, and then they were gonna come in here when we're done. That's what I was told.
But is that after the meeting?
Yeah. But we'll be done by 10, unless...
No, we should blow through this.
For any, for all intents and purposes, we should be.
Okay, can we get a roll call?
Clemens.
Here.
Clifford.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Resolves. Store.
Here.
Do you need a copy of the agenda?
Yeah, I just left it at the home.
There's a paper one.
Fast body.
Yeah, here.
Cohort.
Thanks.
Present. Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval of the minutes for November the 9th.
Huh?
2018.
Yeah. Why not?
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion on the minutes?
Just a quick thing, Madam Chair. In the minutes, we talked about realigning the highway department, and as you probably all know from the board meetings and so forth, because those jobs had to come up before the committee and ultimately be passed through the county board. We did, Tracy Wingler retired. We put his administrative responsibilities underneath our assistant county engineer and reevaluated his position. And then we are going to, in the very near future, we have an MOU sent out to AFSCME for them to approve on the jobs and responsibilities for what would become a unioned road foreman that would be a working foreman. So we're kind of halfway through the process. We've done everything with the assistant county engineer. He's taken over the administrative work for the basically, he's going to be our operations engineer or our maintenance engineer, however you want to term that. And then we're waiting for the MOU to come back from the union so that we can look at getting that road foreman position filled within the union. So those are just two things that were in the minutes that I didn't put on the agenda that I wanted to bring up just for your knowledge so you know what's going on around here.
Okay. All in favor of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Those won't actually change the minutes, though.
It does not change the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
It was just discussion.
Public participation, saying aye. Any communication from the board, from the committee? No? Okay, we're going to the county and township motor fuel tax claim for November and December 2018.
Not too much on there because this isn't the time of year where we're spending a lot of motor fuel tax. It's usually a summer thing.
Okay, did somebody move it? Okay, it's been moved and seconded by...
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? I know you can't see it.
I looked it over.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, going to the county.
So Carol Ammon's office called me in December sometime, and they were looking for a listing of county road and bridge projects. I think they were also looking for some facility projects, and Dana probably put something together as well, because there's a possible capital bill in the state legislature coming up. So what you have in front of you, that spreadsheet that's sideways there, are the projects.
Page 6?
This here.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are the projects that I sent to her to have at her disposal if a capital bill were to come to fruition. I think the last time we got any money out of a capital bill for rural road projects was when Mike Frericks was still in the...
Auditor?
No, he was in the Senate, right? Or, mm-hmm. Yeah. And he got us like $1 million or something for a project. But there's a lot of talk about transportation funding, both nationally as well as in the state. As you know, the motor fuel tax hasn't been raised since 1990. It's been 19 cents for 28 years. So I don't know if it's going to come to fruition. I know the mayor of Chicago and the people up above I-80 are really pushing for a transportation bill. We've got a Transportation for Illinois Coalition. That's a lot of different contractors and counties and cities and so forth that's pushing for one. So I really feel like there's an opportunity, this year possibly to get some transportation funding. How that's going to look and what it's going to be, we'll leave that up to the politicians. But I didn't want to be short on our request for projects if there was a capital bill. And I've got maps here attached for each of these projects in case somebody would contact you or the county board or what have you about these projects. Because some of the County Road 9 project, we have that scheduled. Basically, the plans are ready. We're going to build it this summer. It's going to totally deplete our motor fuel tax funds. We'll be down to a few $100,000 after this summer of doing that project. And we've got some pretty major bridges there. The first bridge there, 010-0119, you can see that's $1.1 million. That's on County Road 18. It would be just west of Philo, a couple of miles on that stretch that goes from Philo over to US 45. Then we've got another $800,000 bridge, which is over by Homer, just west of Homer, about a mile. That's $800,000. The High Cross Road Bridge, which is actually Urbana Township, obviously a highly traveled road. It's north of the Apple Dumpling there, down in the bottoms where it goes through the forested area. That's actually a posted bridge on the township road. We thought we were going to be able to do a deck replacement on that bridge and get out of there for $600,000 or $800,000, but after further review, the piles in the pier columns are not deep enough to hold the current weights that bridges are designed to hold. So basically that's going to be a remove and replace.
How did you determine that? Is that from inspection of the...
From pile driving records that we had from when the bridge was built. All amazingly, right. So you're a geologist guy. You understand
you
soils and so
records.
Forth.
I and you found them.
And we found them, you're right.
I have been on the Illinois Department of Transportation for... We could solve the national debt because of the amount of re-drilling borings that they have to do because they cannot find anything in their own records.
Yeah. Well, we're, thanks to Michelle, we have very well-organized road and bridge
Good
records
on
now.
You.
It's all on the GIS. We can click on them. They come up. We can look at the old plans. We can get the old pile driving records. We can get the old estimates, see what it cost, who built it, time frame, obviously. But the pier piling, and that pier is probably 15 to 20 feet from the stream bed up to the cap that the deck sits on. The piling are only 10 feet in the ground underneath that pier. I don't know how it stood for the 50 years that it's been up.
Well, they had a big collapse along Interstate 65 in near Lafayette, Indiana.
Yeah.
That took down an entire interstate highway, the northbound interstate highway, for a very long time until it was repaired. So I please drill deeper than you think you need to for exploration,
yes.
Because they ended up finding a artesian spring or artesian water.
Yeah.
That undermined the...
Eroded the whole thing.
Undermined the pier and...
Yeah. So, based on that information, we can't just reuse the in-place structure. So, that's $1.5 million. We got a bridge down west of Sadorus. That's in pretty bad shape. It's about $1 million. I've actually applied for special bridge money for that one from the state and the feds. We'll see if we get that or not. Probably find out usually in the spring whether that money will be available for that project. And then our two major road rebuild projects in the future are the road between Philo and 45, and then from 130 over to Sydney, and then also over to Homer and over to the county line. I don't have the part from Sydney over to Homer and the county line because that's kind of out there quite a ways. But you can see, I mean, we're to rebuild a road anymore is about $1 million a mile, give or take. And we only get $2.3 million a year in motor fuel tax. We get a little bit in highway fund to use for construction, but it's really the other money that federal money and the other types of fundings that we've been pretty successful in getting that are kind of keeping us going as far as road building projects go. So this adds up to roughly $12 million worth of projects, which obviously in a three-year span, we can't afford to do $12 million worth of projects unless we get outside funding sources or we get some major increase in the motor fuel tax distribution coming to the counties. So that's been sent over to Carol Ammons. That's kind of our five-year plan. I know it only shows down to 2020 because I wanted to put some teeth into the years when I sent it to her. There's no way we can accomplish this in that short of a time frame without, outside funding sources coming into us. So,
can I ask you some questions about
that? Sure.
And I understand the list and why you have these in the county. What about the other projects that we've actually asked for funding, federal funding for, like the great improvement at Savoy, those things we've already...
Right.
Where do they stand and why aren't they in this list? Or is that a different issue because they go through Savoy or they go through Urbana?
Right. We're not the lead agency, nor do we want to be on the... Because that's a big money project. We're talking $40 million to build, First Street and build that underpass. We put in for federal money all the way to Washington for that. We've got, I think it's around $16 million from the Illinois Commerce Commission that's sitting in their five-year plan. But Village of Savoy's got to find some way to be able to match that. Obviously, they don't have $15 or $20 million. They got $2 or $3 million that they have from their bonding that they can use. That's the project that Kuat's, the Village of Savoy, is pushing. Obviously, there's no county funding in that project. The only county money or commitment we've made to that project is to help them out with construction engineering once the project gets going, because the Village of Savoy is pretty limited in their resources in that. So we would be probably the resident engineers on a project like that, but we wouldn't be putting any significant amount of our own money into that project. That's why it's not on this list.
Right.
I would assume and I would hope that Village of Savoy is continuing to push that project through other channels.
Well, because you're on Kuat's, obviously, you're the
right
lead person. Because, and then 130 all over, I mean, Curtis all the way to 130, because it impacts St. Joe and everybody else, because now they don't go 3074 around to Southwest Curtis, where now there's a lot of development, Carl. We have to kind of work together to make sure
Absolutely.
All that gets accomplished. And then First Street, all the way down through Savoy, is becoming an issue now.
All the way down,
talking about
Philo Road. And that's a township road. Some of it's Savoy, some of it's township.
It's split up pretty good today.
A lot of discussion is like this.
Oh, it's horrible.
People aren't bicycling, running through there because there's a lot of development.
Yeah, that's...
What about that road?
That's Philo Township. But I talked to Brian about doing a design to rebuild his, I think it's a mile that he has south of Church Street.
Down,
wherever his mile is, I can't remember exactly.
There's development all the way down to the airport road, the airport road comes out, right?
Right, right. So that's, depending on where the village has annexed in, that's either the township or the village. So I was really looking at county-funded projects. We wouldn't be involved in fund, we would help him out with the engineering, we would do the design plans, probably oversee the construction, but we wouldn't actually be the funding mechanism for a project like that. Now, when you start talking about Curtis Road from First Street over to 130, you know, there's been a plan put together by Kuats that shows a widened, you know, an improved two-lane surface, basically with widened shoulders for pedestrians and bicycles and so forth on the widened shoulders. But that's just a conceptual design right now, that this is what it should look like based on the traffic that we have and the traffic that we're going to get in the future. That is from First Street all the way to 130 is Urbana Township. Jim Prather basically has no desire or funding to do anything with that roadway. If something's going to happen with that, it's going to have to be driven by Urbana, the city of Urbana.
Because there's a lot of people come out of Urbana south over there, and they're just running back and forth on Windsor. At 4 o'clock, it's like got traffic going north and east, just back and forth like this.
We redid First from Windsor down to Curtis with Champaign Township this summer, and I think that was a big improvement. There's going to be, we applied for a bike trail, as you know, from Curtis up to Windsor along the west side of First Street over in that grassy area that the U of I owns. Didn't get the money. For whatever reason, that project didn't get selected for enhancement funding. So those are projects that are out there. I think they're the next fringe road projects that everybody will be involved in. But where the money's going to come from and who's going to pay for it and who's ultimately going to have jurisdiction of the roadway, there's a lot of questions out there about that, because prior to Bill Gray retiring, he had no desire to take over Curtis Road as a city street.
Bill Gray retired?
Yes, in October. Yep.
Why wasn't that in the newspaper?
It was. It was a big article.
Really?
Yeah, with an interview with him and everything.
Good God.
Must have missed it, yeah.
Oh. Who's the engineer now?
They're on a national search. So their assistants have kind of stepped up and taken his responsibilities and started getting the public works director. And I don't know what their time frame is on filling that. So we'll see who that new person is, how the city of Urbana reacts to wanting to rebuild Curtis Road. Because it's, you know, when we rebuilt Lincoln and we rebuilt Windsor and all these roads, obviously they got to go over to somebody's jurisdiction. The township can't afford to maintain a roadway like that.
Okay. Not to step on John's toes, maybe you were going to bring this up, but I was curious why County Road 55 north of Rantoul, which is rated as poor.
It is rated as poor. It's in the next iteration. You can, in the pavement management program, you can see it's out there. That road, not to be mean, I'm not sure what we're going to do with it. It's 4 lanes. It absolutely does not need to be 4 lanes because there's no traffic up there anymore. It was developed 4 lanes because there was supposed development going to come in on the north side of Rantoul. I don't know how the county ever got it, to be honest with you. It doesn't function as a county roadway. It more functions as a city street. I've talked multiple times with the village of Rantoul about taking over jurisdiction of it. You know, even maybe we could rebuild it and they would take it over, you know, so that they get a new roadway. Because it's off the beaten path for any of our plow trucks.
I wondered about that.
I've talked to the townships about possibly plowing it for us. They don't want the responsibility of plowing it. Which I don't blame them. So it's a 4-lane road that needs to be a 2-lane road, which basically means we got to rip out the whole road and start from scratch.
Oh, that's nice being a 4-way. We can move combines there easily.
We can do a 2 with a very wide shoulder, but I don't. And there's storm sewer in there, and that storm sewer has been revamped and redone multiple times, and it's just, It's one of those projects that is going to cost a lot of money. And not that there's not benefit in it, but it's not, these two roadways, County Road 18 and County Road 15, carry 3,000-4,000 vehicles a day.
Well, I was just kind of wondering.
And very high-speed traffic.
Down here traffic, because I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's.
Put a new bridge in on that anyway.
We put two of them.
Two of them.
And they're four lanes wide.
Yes.
I don't know. What do we do?
I know. So that's why they're not kind of up there in the top.
I thank you for.
And these two actually have very, our safety concerns on them are real high. We're going to apply for highway safety improvement dollars because we got narrow roadways, narrow shoulders. We got power poles that are literally from me to you from the edge of the lane. We've had accidents where people have crashed and we've had fatalities on the roadways. That's kind of the big deal right now in the federal as well as the state is safety concerns. Both of these roadways have them. I think I'll be able to be pretty successful in getting safety money to portion, you know, pay for a portion of these roadways. That's my plan. When the safety, usually the safety applications come out around January or February, both of these projects are going to be put in for safety dollars. So we'll see where that goes.
Good.
All right. So that's kind of, you know, and you can read through the, I put the pavement management study in here.
Thank you.
Basically for the newer people that hadn't really seen it, kind of to know how we make our decisions and what we base everything off of as far as, you know, having a, as a matter of fact, I've got it up here on the screen and we're going to run down County Road 9 when we talk about that resolution to rebuild that roadway, just show you some of the functionality of our pavement management study here. But since we started doing the pavement management study, you'll see that, you know, if you look through here, if you go to, for instance, if you go to page, what would be page 24 of your overall packet, which is page 9 of the pavement management study report that ARA does for us, you know, you'll see that that line basically that shows basically, you know, a typical roadway is lasting 17 years or so before we have to do major rehabilitation. But in the last 10 years, these red squares that say Cold in Place Recycling, that's kind of the method that we've been going towards and trying to get down through the asphalt and get rid of all the distresses in the asphalt all the way down to the bottom layer. And you'll see those red squares are well above that curve. So we're looking, you know, once we get a few more years under our belt, we can probably draw a curve that relates to those Cold in Place Recycling projects. And I'm hoping it's going to be 22 years or so, maybe pushing 25 if we're lucky. You know, if we do the proper maintenance, if we do the seal coats and the crack ceilings and we get down through the crack patterns with our Cold in Place Recycling, we ought to be able to stretch that curve out and start seeing a longer life for our pavements, which is obviously a good thing. Due to our inability to, you know, be able to rebuild roads every 17 years. We just don't have the proper amount of funding to do that. So since we started the pavement management study, they do a pavement condition index, which basically tells you the grades your roads based on a lot of different things, roughness and cracking and rutting and so forth. And when we first started the pavement management study, you know, 10, 12 years ago, we were down around 70 for our 10-year network condition forecast. And you see here, if you look at this graph right here, which is page 30 of your overall handout, page 15 of your pavement management, you know, based on what we're looking at doing in our, and what we've done in the past, we've been able to bring our PCI up around 80.
Like Harper, always in the wrong spot.
Hear that he might learn something.
I've had a lot of years being in the wrong spot.
So we're up there in the paragraph above that graph. You see, we're averaging 81.1, which is a very high PCI, and a lot of that has to do with doing the Cold in Place Recycling and doing the proper maintenance on the roadways in the proper time. And that's all the information that we get out of the pavement management study, basically telling us when we need to do what and what that's going to do for us as far as the longevity and length of our life, of our roadways. Because if you look at that next page, that shows the overall network conditions since 2006. And you can see we were just below 70 in 2006, and we built it all the way up to above 80 now here in 2017 when this report was written. So we're doing a pretty good job with what we get, basically, to make sure we're keeping the roads in good condition.
Yeah, but no, I'm just kind of concerned, kind of what happens after 2025, 2026. What are you guys going to do?
We need more money. We need you guys to go knock on the door.
Wait a minute. It looks like we're going to be down here practically to minuscule, very poor.
Where are you looking at?
Oh, on page 15 of the pavement thing there, where it looks like where the predominant rating looks like it's going to be.
Right. We're going to get all the roads out of the very poor condition. And then, so what you do when you get to that point is your funding mechanisms shift from construction to maintenance. Because the more maintenance and the more timely maintenance you do on roadways, the longer they're going to last.
Okay.
So you don't end up spending all your money to rebuild them. You end up spending your money to make sure they're staying in good shape after you rebuild them. Yes.
And that's kind of been a national trend as well.
Right.
With their...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... You got a question?
Yeah, I had one sort of very simple question, which is looking at this map, or these maps. So these are the only roads that are administered by the county?
Yes.
The smaller roads are administered by the townships?
Right. We have 200 miles of roadway the county. And most of the county roads link like a state highway to another state highway or a small community to another small community or something like that.
Okay.
So the townships have like 1,600 miles, and we have 200.
So even though they're labeled county roads, they're actually administered by the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
So see these little signs that you see on the map?
Yeah. Okay. So
if you see one of those on the road, it's a county highway. If you don't, it's not, basically.
Okay. That makes sense.
Those are the markers that we use to mark the county highways.
Okay.
And there's even some roads out there, like the road down by Broadlands and the road by Bongard. And the road that runs out of St. Joe down to Sydney that appear to be county roads, but they're actually state-maintained roadways.
I see.
So if you don't see that placard, it's not a county highway, basically.
Okay.
And we get a lot of calls. You can ask Michelle.
Yeah.
If it's a road in Champaign County, people think it's
right
under the auspice of the county highway department. So they call us for city, township, state. And every now and again, they get it right and call us for a county road. So we get a lot of calls for all the different types of roadways in the county.
And I guess the other question was, obviously the number of roads that are in the poor, fair, very poor categories is decreasing, but the number of roads that are in the good category as opposed to very good is increasing.
Right.
Does that mean that if we extrapolate this out a few years later, there's going to be sort of another pileup of roads that are falling into the fair and good categories, or is it just too far?
You'll get that, but what we want to stretch that out farther, because those, like it's showed on that graph, in the 15 to 17 year range, we were getting roads that were falling into the poor category. We can stretch that out to 20 to 25 years. We can afford to rebuild 2-3 miles of roadway a year. We just can't do 8 or 10.
Okay.
So if you only got a 20 year life and you got 200 miles of road, that's obviously 10 miles a year. We can't afford to do that. So even if you get it out to 25, you're looking at 8 miles a year. But what we got is a lot of old roadways sitting on old concrete pavement that have never been really maintained. The maintenance of the roadways in the early 2000s and before that was basically mill and overlay, mill and overlay, mill and overlay. Because Champaign Asphalt was telling the county engineer, you need to mill and overlay, you need to mill and overlay, and they just kept milling and overlaying. There wasn't a lot of seal coat, and there wasn't a lot of crack sealing, there wasn't a lot of that preventive maintenance that was going on. It was just every 12 to 15 years, we're going to go out and mill and overlay the road. And 20 years ago, when asphalt was $25 a ton, and we were still getting the same motor fuel tax 20 years ago as we're getting today, they could afford to do that. But we can't afford to do that anymore. That's just not reasonable. To be able to think we can mill and overlay 10 miles of roadway a year, which is not going to happen. So we switched over to a lot more maintenance. Our maintenance budget this year is about $1 million just to maintain the roadways, to do the shoulders, to do the seal coats, to do the crack sealing, do all the things we need to do to make sure the roadway's staying in good shape. Where it used to be, the maintenance was a couple hundred thousand, and that was it, you know, and the rest of it was going towards construction. Contractors love that. They want to put down more asphalt, believe me. But that's just not reasonable to do anymore.
It's like changing oil in your car.
Exactly.
Keep up with it and rotate your tires.
I got 287,000 miles on my car. And I've never missed an oil change and I never missed a tire rotation.
How many?
287,000. So that's what I want my roads to do. I want my roads to last that long. And it's still in good shape. I just drive a lot. So
keep the farmers under 80,000 tons too, we'll be all right.
80,000 tons?
Yeah. That'd be
wow, good. That'd be a load.
That'd
man.
Be a load, wouldn't it?
That's right.
I don't think I've seen an overweight permit for 80,000 tons. That'd be something.
What is the maximum?
80,000 pounds.
Pounds, that's it.
Sorry. Close enough.
You're heck? Close.
You're just hoping for 80,000 tons.
No.
No.
I know what it does.
90,000's coming, though.
90,000's coming really fast.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
What would that do to, I mean, would that kind of course it's going to have an adverse impact on, because the roads are not designed for that bearing.
We're fortunate in Champaign County. We've got pretty good roads.
Slightly over-designed?
No, but we have enough money to maintain them.
Okay.
Because we have a tax base.
All right.
But you go down to the southern counties, I was looking through, so we get a report every month. You can go on IDOT's website and see the report for every county in the state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on a given month, we might get like $150,000 or $180,000 in motor fuel tax money, you know, because we get it monthly. It comes from the state. I went in and looked at some of the southern counties, you know, $6,000-$10,000 a month. Plus, they got no tax base because they have no population. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're... They're just using super glue, I guess, to keep the roads together. Because in you can talk to a lot of those southern townships. There's a lot of roads that used to be seal coat that are no longer. They're gravel, or maybe they're even going to be dirt at some point.
Yeah.
So
still cost $1 million a mile, right?
Yep. No matter how you cut it, no matter what you know method you used, it's what's going to cost you. You just got to find the best method that's going to stay in good shape for the longest, and you gotta maintain it after you do it. That's the key. We used to wait, the theory used to be 5 to 8 years before you ever seal coated the road. Now it's, if you don't get on it in the second or third year, you're behind the curve. Because you start losing the asphalt in the top of the roadway, it starts to oxidize, and it starts to become brittle, the road starts to crack, and then you get the water infiltration down into the roadway, and then you're fighting an uphill battle. But if you can get out there and seal coat it in the first 2 or 3 years and get that top sealed up, seal that asphalt into it, and it stays more pliable, you can get a lot longer lasting roadway.
And the bicyclist complained.
None of mine, though. That's his.
I haven't had any bicyclists complain.
We use the boiler slag seal coat. A lot of the townships use rock, and I know that's when they put it down, it's loose, and there's no doubt about it. It's a hazard for bicycles, but... They got to do what they got to do as well to maintain their roads. So, yeah, we get complaints the first week or two after we seal coat. People call us and tell us we're idiots and it looks horrible and it's never going to work. And they've been in the construction industry for 20 years and they know the contractor doesn't know what they're doing. And I always tell them, just call me in a couple weeks. Let me know what you think. They never call back because it looks so nice after a couple weeks after we get it swept, we get it striped, it's you know, really dark in color, so it's soaking up that sun to get rid of the snow, and it seals the top of the roadway, and it ends up, yeah. Buddy Chapin Roach chewed my butt out when we seal coated the Mahomet roadways. He actually called me back a few weeks later and said, I'm sorry about that. That actually looks really nice. I didn't think that was going to happen. So, any other questions about that? I just wanted to kind of, that was kind of a 8 and 9 together there, but for the newer people on the committee and for your information as well, I wanted to kind of tell you where we're at and what projects we're going towards.
Now what we do.
So we don't need any votes or anything on that. We'll move on to number 10, the resolution appropriating $3.1 million for County Road 9, section 1800449. We're going to rebuild that roadway this summer. We're going to go all the way to the bottom of that road and actually get down to just above the dirt and do a full depth reclamation of everything in place. Because
so you're going to put in a new base too.
We are going to put in a new base. If you guys,
what do you use for a base?
We're going to well, the rock's there, but we're actually going to solidify the rock with either emulsion or cement, because the rock is, it's the old River Run gravel. Doesn't have.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say.
So it's there. It's just not. It doesn't stay in place very well.
Well, it's rounded.
Yeah. So we need to put something in it to lock it together, basically.
Okay, so you're not going to bring in any crushed lime or anything?
No. No, we're going to use all, everything that's in place is going to get reused, which is kind of the way the industry is going.
How are you going to hold it together? I'm just curious. And won't that be an impediment to drainage?
No. No, because you're going to have a, you're going to have a solid. So it's
sorry,
not.
Sorry, I had so many years of highway.
Right. So we looked at cement, and we did some engineering studies on stabilizing the base with cement, and actually when we stabilize the base with cement, it gets too hard.
Oh, the soil cement?
Well, it's actually cement mixed into the rock, and you can bring a little bit of the soil up into it.
Oh.
But you put about 5% cement into it. You bring in a great big tilling machine. You basically till it up and add the cement as you're going. But what they've seen is that gets hard enough that, and it actually turns to kind of like a weaker concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's concrete do? It cracks.
Yeah.
Okay, and then those cracks are going to come
so
up through your asphalt.
Something more supple.
So we're going to use an emulsion based.
Okay, that's
treatment, well, which you. Makes it more pliable, which is basically what we're doing when we do our cold in place recycling. Only we're only going down through the asphalt, and this one we're going to go all the way down through the rock, and we're going to put, 3%, 4% emulsion in it, depending on what the engineering comes back and says, to make that. So it'll be a little pliable, but it'll have good stiffness to it as well. And then we'll build a new asphalt top, 4-inch. Hot mix asphalt top on top of that, and that road should be good for 25 years after that. We did this road on the cheap 15 years ago. We went in and milled and overlaid it, and I can show you, we can run through this really quick. I just wanted to kind of show you the condition of this roadway. So we've got, this is our pavement management study, and they got a van that has cameras. They got a front viewer, a left viewer, a right viewer, and then over on the side there's a down view, but you basically get the same view as you get with the front view. It's just from the back of the camera. So we can virtually drive any roadway. We have this done on every single roadway on the county network system. So you can see the cracking and everything that's going on in this roadway, because there's no base underneath it, basically, that's holding it up. We got basically a continuous crack down the middle and then down the middle of the wheel lanes as well. And you can see the broken up areas that are starting to come apart. And as we work our way down the road, you'll be able to see places where we came in and did a lot of patchwork with cold mix and so forth. So this is a roadway that's
rutting in it too.
It's got rutting in it, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like a 40 PCI. If you're looking at numbers on PCIs, whereas, our average is up around 80 now, this is the worst PCI roadway we have in the entire network. So we get this out of the network, our PCI should come up, quite a bit. And it's rough. Some of it's got old concrete base underneath it that we're going to pull out. Some of it's got that rounded rock underneath it, which we're going to reuse and stabilize. So you can just see the patching there on that lane right there. I mean, there's a lot of patching that has happened on this roadway over the years.
Will you go to the new bridge?
Yeah, we're going to get the one that's the next resolution. Yeah, it's actually, so the next resolution is actually just to replace the rails.
Oh, okay.
On the bridge.
What's wrong with them?
I'll show you when we get there.
I've been by it. It looked fine to me.
For one thing, they're a safety hazard because there's nothing protecting them. And if somebody runs into the blunt end of that rail, they're toast. We'll go on here down to 4, and we'll show you what that, we'll show you that bridge. We're coming up to it here. There's some more patching there that's nasty. And we've got about a tenth of a mile here, and that bridge should be in our view.
So part of the old single concrete is still there?
Yes, the first 2 miles.
Wow.
Yep. So if we go advance, here's
there you go.
We're going to redo these bridge rails. So if we kind of.
That's why it's only 55 grand rather than a whole bridge. Huh?
This, yeah. The underside of this bridge is fine because it's an old box culvert that was built with the. But if you look, you can kind of see. It's kind of hard to see up there. But down here at the bottom of these rails, they're just totally eaten up by salt. Mm-hmm. So not only is there. You know, there's no protection. You can see we got this sign here that marks the end of the rail. Most bridges have rail on the bridge, and then we have extended rail, so that if somebody comes into it, they're not going to hit the blunt end of that rail right there.
So you can deflect them.
So you can deflect them.
So you're going to put up, like, the metal?
We're going to put up the metal rail, and we're going to have runouts with rails. So, you know, if you we can advance up here and look at this side, too. You can kind of see where it's all chewed up down here. I think if somebody hit this really hard, it might just pop off, honestly. So what we're going to do is we're going to come in and saw cut the bottom of that rail, and we're going to drill into the sides of the bridge, and we're going to put in new steel railing, and then we'll have railing going each way to protect the blunt ends of the bridge rail.
So the concrete's going to stay. You're just going to rail the inside of it?
No, we're taking the concrete out.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't want to narrow the roadway.
Yeah, no. Don't narrow it.
Right. Because with the road rebuild, we're not doing anything major. We're not buying right away. We're not widening the shoulders. There's not a tremendous amount of traffic on this roadway. It's just in such poor shape that we spend a lot of money on it year after year, maintaining it and patching it and keeping it together. So, like I said, we're going to rebuild the road. I'd like to get this bridge project done even before we get out there and redo the roadway, because it's just can't remember what we had, $50,000 or something, yeah, to redo the rail on that bridge. And it could probably stand for quite a while, but it worries me, those blunt ends there. You know, somebody runs into that, it's just going to split their car in half, basically.
It's better to deflect them than just to stop them.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, that's kind of what that roadway, you know, typically looks like. You know, it's just got a lot of issues
there. Well, like that first mile, you'll drop 2-3 inches probably.
And that's where the concrete's
the
at.
Just,
yeah.
Yep.
That's where the old concrete's at underneath there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's back when I was a kid.
We cored down into that concrete and it's just gone. It's rotten. There's nothing left of it. So we're actually on that end of the roadway, we're gonna take the asphalt off, we're gonna take the old concrete out, and then put recycled asphalt back in there, and then we're gonna stabilize that with emulsion.
Perfect.
So, and you can see all the patching that's going along there. So it's kind of our poorest road on the network by far, as far as, and we get this sucker. I just cringe every time I have to go up there and drive it. I feel sorry for the people that have to drive it every day, because there's always something going on with this roadway.
I start going a different way. Don't use it.
Now keep it that way till after the summer, then you can use it all you want.
That's fine.
Because it should be in really good shape after that. So that's just some of the functionality that we have with our pavement management. It's nice because somebody can call me about an issue on a roadway. I don't necessarily have to take 2 hours out of my day to drive out there and look at it. I can get on here and actually look at what they're talking about.
Perfect conditions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So... So yeah, and they do that every 2 years. They update the videos every 2 years, and update the PCIs and do all their camera work. And they actually have a truck that is 80,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. It's a semi, and it can roll down the road at 55 miles an hour, and it's got lasers on it, and the lasers will tell you how much the road is deflecting as they're driving down that roadway. So if we got some weak spots in some roadways, we can identify those as well. It's pretty neat.
Just great technology.
Yep. So that's what this resolution is. I'm sorry to hijack the resolution conversation there, Madam Chair, but I just wanted to show you guys the roadway and the bridge that are coming up on these resolutions. So I'd ask for your approval of this $3.1 million.
Second resolution.
Second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And then the next one is $55,000 to replace those rails on that bridge that we just looked at on County Road 9 as well.
So moved.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And that's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's it. Okay. We wanted to be out of here by 10. We're going to make it.
Are you buddy here?
Okay, any other business?
I have a question. I just need to know who needs their packets mailed to them. You want yours mailed? Does anybody not want it mailed? I guess that's probably the easier question. You don't need yours mailed?
No.
Okay.
Everybody but if else? I could have one here, that would be good.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Yep, I can do that.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't mind getting mine mailed.
You want yours mailed?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So you just don't want yours. Okay.
Okay, and I want my mail.
We know
yes,
that.
Yes, I know that. Yes, I know.
She calls me. I haven't got my packet yet.
I tried.
That's the chair. Don't blame her.
Yeah, we have issues with the post office. I'm not sure what they are.
Well, I had trouble. I don't get my big board packet in the mail anymore. It was always 2 days late.
Really?
So now they're special mailing it, I guess.
I get mine on Monday.
Dude.
He's way out there.
Yeah, we're up in no man's land. So.
He's at the end of this road. That's why they're doing it. Yeah. I got moved out. No.
So do the lasers create like a 3D map of the road or just...
We haven't done that technology yet. What we do is we've got the old plans so we know what the layers are.
Okay.
Because we know what we've built over.
Yeah.
A lot of these roads date back to the 20s and 30s.
Right.
So we know there's a 9-foot concrete slab underneath there, and then on the other side of the roadway at one point there was gravel. Mm-hmm. Then they came in and cored out the gravel and put some asphalt in there. And then that road will end up only being 18 feet wide because you got a 9-foot concrete pavement, sure. 9-foot asphalt pavement. Then they came in a few years later and widened it and put 2 feet of asphalt on each side of the roadway. And then over the years it's been overlaid and overlaid, so you can see what we got out there.
Yep.
It's just a hodgepodge of stuff. And we're trying to deal with it as best we can. And I think this process that we're using is cold in place recycling and full depth recycling has done us a world of good as far as trying to keep those. Because anytime you got concrete over here and asphalt over here, they're going to act differently, right? But if you can get a pliable layer on top of both of those that your top sits on, it'll kind of retard those cracks from coming through from those old pavement surfaces. It's not going to do it forever. But it'll give you a lot more longevity than just putting a hot mix layer on top of it, which is stiffer by nature than the cold mix layers. So,
what are they doing on 45 the last few years?
I don't know. It's a state.
I know it's state, but you don't know. Looks like they're just
milling and overlaying or overlaying.
It's going to do it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only cold in place job that the state has done is 130 south of Urbana going down to Philo. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that roadway, if you remember, it seemed like every 6, 8, 10 years they were redoing that road. And now that they did the cold in place recycling, it really seems to be holding together a lot better. That was their experiment. For some reason, IDOT is always about 10 years behind what we do because they're nervous to do things that are new and tell people they're tried and true by somebody else, which is usually us.
Good.
So. We're trying to lead the charge in this type of stuff.
The stories. I've been in the state government longer than you have, and boy, is that ever, that's 100% true. They are just so, let's wait and see what 49 other states do before we...
Slow to react.
Maybe after Mississippi finally adopts it.
Very slow to react. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
It doesn't make the items.
So there's no chair report. And the designated items would be...
10 and 11.
10 and 11.
Yeah.
So is anything else the committee want to discuss before we adjourn? If not, we adjourn.
Thank you.
Very much.